The peace symbol is 50 years old. I'm talking about the circle with the lines inside that look like a headless stick figure with splayed legs. You can doodle it on your notebook, iron it on your tie-dyed T-shirt, spray paint it on a wall, and everyone knows it means peace. Columbia professor Todd Gitlin says the sign made its debut on February 21st, 1958, in a British anti-nuclear march. But how did that assortment of lines in a circle come to mean peace?
It was a semaphore signal. It was a code that stood for the two letters joined N and D for nuclear disarmament. It was adopted as a symbol by a British group called the Campaign for Nuclear Disarmament. And then it made the great migration over the water and was picked up by American pacifists and then in turn adapted by people who were almost pacifists or not quite pacifists in the early 1960s in a group called the Student Peace Union. And then it was just lying around as a kind of graphic gesture that was available for adaptation by anti-Vietnam War people.
It also seemed to eventually embrace far more than nuclear disarmament itself. It was imported to the States, I believe, by Bayard Rustin in the 60s, and it was embraced by the civil rights movement as kind of a universal symbol for civil disobedience and social justice.
Well, Bayard Rustin would have been the right importer because he came out of the radical pacifist movement. He was active in the group called the Fellowship of Reconciliation. He comes into the civil rights fight as a bearer of that tradition, and they are the real Gandhian. So there's a direct link from people like him to Martin Luther King and people around the civil rights movement, the early freedom riders, many of them were drawn from that world. So it reflects that phase of the civil rights movement that was committed to active nonviolence. And in that sense, the peace symbol stood for their total ideology.
It's interesting to me that it not only has thrived for so long and endured, but that it made an impact to begin with, because based strictly on design criteria, it doesn't seem all that fetching to me. And at first glance, seems to send out the wrong message. Right? I mean, I see a B-52 or maybe, you know, a chicken's footprint. How did this particular symbol capture the imagination of activists worldwide?
Actually, funny you should mention the chicken's footprint, because pro-Vietnam War people in the late 60s actually liked to attach that label to it. Say, ah, this is the footprint of the chicken who's, to mix the metaphor, running away with his tail between his leg and so on. Sort of nervous Nellies, as Lyndon Johnson used to say. But it might be, and I'm not a – I don't consult for the branding people, but it might be the very simplicity and blandness of the symbol that made it so easily adaptable. There was a long period when people were putting it on jewelry and so on without any idea of its prior associations. I mean, I remember seeing – kids in the 70s wearing charms of this shape and asking them what it was, and they didn't know.
Thank you very, very much.
My pleasure.
Todd Gitlin is a professor of journalism and sociology at Columbia University. The peace sign is an emblem celebrating its 50th anniversary and joins me by phone from the state of Washington. Peace sign, happy birthday.
Thanks.
I must say, the first time I ever noticed you, I thought you looked like a chicken footprint.
I get that a lot. Then people start with the clucking.
Does that make you...
Block, 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 block. Anti-war chicken, coward chicken, anti-war chicken. You know, that kind of baloney.
Now, of course, there's another peace sign, the two fingers raised in a V.
Yeah, the backwards Churchill.
Exactly, the V for victory in reverse. Now, that's also managed to span a couple of generations. Is there any rivalry between you and the fingers?
Oh, my God, no, no. We have a lot of history, and I still love them to death. You know, we haven't seen each other lately, but that's just because, you know, life sort of takes over. I'm in Seattle now to be closer to my grandkids, and he's got a little hip-hop on me, you know, peace out.
now another of your contemporaries, I guess you're maybe 2 or 3 years older. But do you know the smiley face?
Yeah, I know him.
Well, did you two ever hang out together or, you know, try to combine forces or whatever, like synergize in some way?
I don't talk about smiley face.
Well, it just seems that, you know, you're both fundamentally optimistic characters at a time when world events...
Next question.
No, it's just that...
Next question.
Well, peace sign, it's been a fascinating half century. An amazing journey for you with Vietnam and the Cold War, the fall of the Soviet Union, loose nukes. Anything stand out most for you?
Remember Peter, Paul, and Mary?
Yeah, of course.
Mary.
That's gross. Peace sign? Thank you.
Whatever.
That's it for this week's show. On the Media was produced by Megan Ryan, Jamie York, Mike Volo, Mark Phillips, and Nazanin Rafsanjani, and edited by Brooke. We had technical direction from Jennifer Munson and more engineering help from Paul Schneider. We also had help from Nadia Zonis, Sasha Evans, and as the peace symbol, David Fields. Our webmaster is Amy Pearl.
Katya Rogers is our senior producer, and John Keefe, our executive producer. Bassist-composer Ben Allison wrote our theme. You can listen to the program and find free transcripts, MP3 downloads, and our podcast at onthemedia.org. You can also post comments there and email us at onthemedia@wnyc.org. This is On the Media from WNYC. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield.
Support for On the Media is provided by the Bidell Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, the John and Anna Maria Phillips Foundation, the Overbrook Foundation, and the listeners of WNYC. This is NPR.